right, folks. It's that time of the week again for Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark the Landing Crew Wheeler, and welcome. We're going to have a good night tonight. We've got a couple people in the chat room already. We've got the Godfather himself, Chip Gibson, on the line. What's going on, Chip?
I'm here, man. I'm here. Sorry to hear you down in the dumps there.
Yeah. A little bit of winter that showed up finally this past weekend got to me bad. So, c'est la vie. But anyway, let's get right to it. We're going to do our spot with the Bonefish Carpet Trust folks. If you don't know who they are, look them up. They're a great organization that's really helping with fisheries and research on a bunch of species, you know, from the tarpon, like I said, and bonefish, and helping the bonefish, you know, keep their much-needed environment to permit, and the snook that they're starting up also, so it's good things there. So, a little bit of...
Give me the flash of dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
Perfect fly rod.
Yeah.
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome eat, man.
I got one.
Oh, damn, I got him. You got it. I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Yep. All right. Here. Computer screwed up. Oh, there he is. On the line we have right now the Imperial Editor of Video, Mr. Rob DeVore. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Doing good, buddy. I'm still waiting on that invite to watch the first cut.
Yes, I know. You'll be getting one soon.
It's all right, man.
All right, man. How you doing?
Hanging
in there. What are you talking about
tonight? Tonight, we're going to be talking about making that leap from, you know, kayak fisherman who's decent and, you know, wanting to make that step to fishing, you know, boat stink pot tournaments, and how you'd go about it. I'm pretty much, I guess, I know a couple guys have done it, but they were stink pot fishermen before for the bass. But we're going to hit on how you'd start all that. Got another caller. I'm busy tonight. Okay, on the line we have area code 559. You're on the air.
Maybe that's me, Mark. It's Hammerhead here.
Hey, Craig. Long time no hear from you. What's going on, man?
Yep. Oh, not much. Figured I'd call in tonight.
Cool.
See what was going on.
Good to hear from you, man.
Yep.
All right. So let's get right to it. like I said, folks, you know, how do you start fishing for these other tournaments? On the BASS affiliated tournaments or the FLW. And the reason I bring this up is because this is something I'm starting to do recently. Mainly not for myself, but more to get the word out for kayak fishing. So we're going to talk about that and, you know, good tournaments that, you know, anyone can join and have a good time. So let's start off with what you need to understand about fishing a tournament chain like this. If I'm saying, it's going to cost you some money. It's going to be difficult. You're going to be driving a lot. you know, you're not, you know, If you have a bass boat, you'll be driving even more. If you wanted to really get serious about fishing, you know, these tournament series. And what you're going to want to look at doing, if you start fishing small clubs around your area, if you can. I know I've got one here that every Wednesday night, or every other Wednesday night, they show up at the local lake. It's an after-work three-hour tournament. You know, best three fish you can catch, weigh in. And you walk away with, you know, the tournament fees and big bass if you can. So that's, you know, that's where I started off last, 2 years ago actually, was, you know, buddy boating off of other guys as a co-angler and banging it out like that at the local lake. Last year I kind of was told not to show back up because I knew that lake so well because I fished it almost every night out of my kayak. Excuse me. That I could get in there, you know, tell the boat owner, hey, listen, past couple nights we've been sitting here, let's head over there, throw this, we'll catch them. And we've been doing really well with that. So, you know, that's how it came down to. And then I started getting cocky and bringing the kayak and not, you know, near the end of the season because they release all the fish right there next to the boat ramp. We travel right next to there where I'd paddle over there, catch my three fish, and have a basket. I catch them within an hour, throw them in the basket, paddle back over and leave them at the boat ramp and just sit there. They come in, weigh in, I get my money, I go home. So, you know, that's how I started doing it. I know others have done it differently. So that's, folks, where you want to start off. Little local tournaments. You'd be surprised at how many guys that, you know, say that they're really good at it, can fish all day, and yeah, they can catch five fish, but you need to have the ability to catch your limit and or catch the big fish quick. That's why I found what works for me. Any of you guys fish any local bass tournaments? You know, Greg or Rob? I know Rob kind of stays away from anything that doesn't have any social in it.
No, I used to be really into bass. And the best advice that I could give anybody who wants to fish bass tournaments and be good at it is, one, spend a lot of time on the water as much as you can, figuring fish out. Two, a lot of these tournaments are in different impoundments, okay, in different bodies of water. You need to figure out how they work. Are they reservoirs? Do they release water from time to time, get the water moving, you know, every day, once a week, every other day? You know, how does that work? And how does that affect the fish? So, and how weather is going to work with that. So you got to know the fish, know the water that you're fishing, and that will definitely help you be successful at that tournament
game.
Yeah,
I think that's the next step. You know, if you can find the local tournament that fishes on the local lake near you or two or three lakes, because it's local, you know those lakes, or you should, you know, inside and out. You know, but when you make that step to fishing, like the Bassmaster Weekend Series or the Federation Nation, that's when things start changing. I'm going to stick with bass. You know, FLW has the Walmart Series and it ever starts. We're going to stick with the Bassmaster Series. I've actually made the step, and I'm fishing three different levels of tournaments. I'm going to fish the Bassmaster Weekend Series, which is sponsored by the American Bass Anglers Association. I'm also fishing the Federation Nation one tournament and four Bassmaster Opens, because I'm really hoping that I can get with like KVD or Ike and Ellie and just pick their brains. I say look away, just looking to pick their brain.
Pro-Am tournaments are the ticket, man. I mean, you have no idea how much you can learn from somebody if you can get on like a Pro-Am deal or something like that. I mean, those are you can just learn so much from fishing with somebody that does it a lot and that has a lot of experience in it.
And, you know, that way they can tell you what you need to have. I can already tell you right now, I've sat down with John Cruz, who came in, I think he came in 22nd or 21st in the Bassmaster Classic this year. Great local angler from Virginia. And I sat down with him not too long ago. I guess it was about 2 months ago before I really made this decision to, you know, push for, you know, because I'd eventually like to be in the League Series. I'd eventually like to fish the Classic. You know, that those are my goals. But, you know, and me and him I sat down with him. I think it was a good 6 hours. We went on his little boat at Lake Anna, which is in Central Virginia, and, you know, pounded the reservoir fish, and we were talking, and, you know, this is, you know, how I started making my, you know, my turn to this way of life. And it is a way of life, folks. You need to have a support system behind you to be able to really get serious about this, but that's a later on conversation. But yeah, start with those local tournaments, and then start researching just bass in general, researching lures. I've spent hours upon hours on just researching water clarity and how it affects bass, and, you know, from eutrophic and mesotrophic water to temps, and, you know, reading about it and then applying it to different water bodies. I've drove 4 hours already this year to Smith Mountain Lake. I think it was 5 hours. To that lake in Western Virginia where Skeet Reese won the Elite Series tournament there, I think. to, you know, put those things in a test, because I called them and said, hey, in different marinas, and, you know, what's the water clarity here? What's the water temp there? And they told me, and I've been like, ooh, that's my opportunity to hit there and hit, you know, clear, eutrophic, and you know, different water clarities and warmths and how they change. I spent a weekend there just trying to figure that out. And, I mean, I walked away with it with some serious knowledge. And that's the key here, folks, knowledge. If you don't know what you're going after, I guess it's the marine to me. You know, I have to know my enemy, and my enemy is the bass. How do I, you know, the bass have tendencies that do this, 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 and this, you know, and I can apply them, and that's, you know, another thing. You got to be able to apply what you know and make decisions. And if, you know, and nothing does, I have nothing, you know, no gripe with the bass angler who goes out, takes one lure, and is happy as hell if he catches the fish. That's great. When I go out, I try to catch as many fish, as big fish as I can, as quickly as I can, because I know that is key from when I start really making that step and making decisions and sticking with decisions and, you know, not going overboard. And it's kind of hard for me from not to go overboard, but I kind of do that a lot. But
well, I'll tell you, though, there's huge differences in, say, you know, where you're fishing there, and you got a tournament to go fish in Arkansas, okay, and a cold front just came in, and, you know, the water looks like chocolate milk. You still got to be able to catch fish in those kind of conditions, you know, and you got to know how it affects it, where they're going to be, you know, and learning about that body of water, you know, in a short time, you know, from the time, you know, you're going to pre-fish it to tournament time to everything else is a lot of, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into that stuff. I used to be so amazed, you know, like reading Bassmaster magazine and, you know, watching the fishing shows and the guy, you know, like the Bassmasters tour and stuff, and how these guys, they come across as like some sort of, you know, just some bumpkin out from, you know, and it's no offense to anybody. And these guys are like literal, basically, they're almost like a scientist, like almost like a marine biologist, the way that they can dissect all the fish and all their tendencies and the conditions and what that's going to dictate.
Right. Well, you know, it comes down to research. You know, knowing thy enemy is half the battle for, you know, a good kayak fish, you know, a good bass fisherman. You know, and that's where research comes in handy, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, I've got two tournaments coming up. I got one in March at Kerr Reservoir, and I've got one in April, which is my Elite Series or my Open Series tournament at Lake Norman in North Carolina. Two completely different lakes, two completely different styles, two completely different ways of thinking. But I'm still going to fish them the same way. You know, and I have done a ton of research. And that's the great thing about folks, join bass if you're starting to want to learn bass in general or technique, because you can get the digital Bassmaster magazine free of charge up back to 10 years through their digital series. So, and longer. I read a 1984 Bassmaster not too long ago on Kerr Reservoir on the James River, which is the one in June that I'm fishing, you know, and how they did it. So, you know, little things like that, folks, you know, learn your limitations. You know, if you don't have the money, you know, save up your money for the next year so this way you can enjoy yourself. I saved a lot of money so I could do this year. I'm hoping to win at least one or two tournaments to make up for the money I've spent in lures and rods. And folks that were down in Tokoloski know how much gear I carry, and folks, I was only in the saltwater gear. Trust me, I've got more freshwater stuff than you can think of. You know, and that's, you know, I need to be ready for every situation. But I'm planning for when I own my boat, or excuse me, when I win a boat, not for right now. But anyway, you know, you guys have anything you guys want to bring in about before I really start getting into how to break down water?
No, go ahead.
No, go for it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with Kerr Reservoir, which is my first one coming up. And this is going to be about breaking down water, folks. And this is how I start off with any tournament, even the local tournaments I was doing. They had, you know, their championships, which were three tournaments within three different bodies of water that we haven't fished. I mean, granted, you can go out and fish them any time, but never fish in this way of doing it. And this is how I broke them down, and how I am breaking down Kerr Reservoir, or Bugs Island, as many people know it. First thing I break down is I buy a map. I buy one of those $20 fold-out maps, and I find that if I do that first, I have a base knowledge. Okay, I spread that on my kitchen table, and I break down every point, cut, river, creek, bed, flat, and I break down that whole map with a series of numbers. Everything gets one tally. Okay, if it's a point, it gets a tally. If it's a point with a rock bed, it gets two tallies, because it's not just regular silt on the bottom. It has some sort of cover, some sort of structure. If it has that, and then I see little submerged, you know, marks of trees, it gets three tallies. If I see that and it's got a flat within, you know, casting distance, guess what? That gets four tallies, because now it has a breeding ledge on it. If it has all that and then a deep slough with a rise point or ridge right next to it, that gets five tallies. But because what I'm trying to do, folks, I'm trying to eliminate non-productive water. I need to have productive water. I need to be able to get on the spot, make my cast, catch my fish quickly, and move on, especially if I'm fishing a multi-day tournament. I don't want to go into a spot, completely kill it off, and I try to come back to the next day and there's no fish. I just wasted time. I cannot waste time. And, folks, if you talk to or listen to any of the major tournaments, Bassmaster does it. Every other Elite Series and Bassmaster Classic, they have what's called the War Room. And the War Room is basically the editors and the blog guys and everything else sit there and they explain to you what each of the Bass guys are doing at that moment. And I heard it a lot in the recent classic and talking to John was you cannot waste time. If you're tying a lure, guess what you're doing? You're throwing a worm out in the middle of nowhere because you just never know. Because a line in the water could mean a fish, you know, on the end of the line, which is key. You need to have something in the water at all times. But I break it down with the map first. And as I'm breaking it down, I'm also at my computer running at the same time, and I look at Google Maps, excuse me, Bing Maps, anything I can see, you know, to correlate what I'm seeing on the map to what I'm looking at. And then I'll mark each area and designate, you know, if I have a spot, you know, four spots with eight marks of excellence, as I call them, then I'm going to really look at those through the aerials. I'm going to pull up the topographics and really, you know, really try to break down those spots even farther. It's surprising. If you look at a lot of these through the aerial photographs, docks, you know, a little spot, you know, a buoy isn't necessarily marked or has moved itself from when you originally looked at them on a map. And I don't want to get that surprise when I go down there the first time. Now, like I said, the first time, you've looked at everything, you've got your idea. I'm going to get to the water, okay? I'm going to get down there. I'm going to find a weekend that is going to be try to be as similar as possible to practice and the time I'm going to be fishing. What I mean by that is, you know, this could be up to two weekends of, you know, good weather and another weekend of crappy weather. So this way I know what the bass are going to be doing between those times. But the first day is strictly recon. I might take one or two rods out, but I'm going to head out there. I've got a good fish finder. I have one of those ones that clamps on the side of my boat, and I rent a John boat, you know, with a little 9-9 on it that I can, you know, where I need to go. I don't take the kayak out yet. So I want to look at those spots on my fish finder. I want to break down those spots really well. And this is where having a superior fish finding unit is key into doing that. I've spent the money. I spent a lot of money on my Lowrance Gen 2 that I just got in last month. Folks, if you want to step up and use the best, this is the unit, man. I can superimpose what the bottom is with the side scan and down scan, save it on my SD card, take it home, plug it into my software with a topographic map, my, I think it's the Lake software, plot it in there, and I can turn lines, topographic lines, to an actual image onto my map. This way I can see, ooh, that point didn't show it on the map, but that point's got a, you know, submerged roadbed and, you know, two houses next to it. A lot of those reservoirs, folks, have houses and old villages in them. You know, and I can see them go, oh, that is awesome. So that is something that I really recommend. If you're really going to get serious about it, buy the best. Don't just buy what you can afford. Save up the money. Buy the best. And I plan on taking that little Lowrance and sticking on my first bass boat, but that's for another time. You know, pick away what you need. Pick away what you can find. Come back that night, sit down, and look. You know, look at notes. I take notes all the time when I'm on the water, because I have a photographic memory, but the little things that I see, I'll forget. So if I put it down in notes, I can never forget it. Okay, we all have the ability to take a snapshot of a spot and go from there. But if you take that snapshot and go, okay, there's a large elm, you know, that's broken in two off this point, you know, that's 15 foot deep. You know, you got to have that, you know, those little points that you can quickly write them down on the map. And I really recommend, folks, you know, write on your map, because when you have your map, you can quickly open it up and go, okay, we're here, you know, right around this corner. Oh, there's a spot that we might want to hit because it's got this, 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 and this. It's got a listing of what you need. Then from there, folks, is basically fishing it. You know, going into those spots that should hold fish and have to hold fish and fishing them out. I'm going to try and find the bass as quickly as possible. You know, I'm going to, that's where I take the kayak out. Especially on the lakes that have a bunch of different marinas. Because I'll drive to that marina, drop off, you know, fish around that area, and I'm fishing, you know, shallow, medium depth, and deeper. If I've got a lake that has 150 foot deep and it has smallmouth on it, I'm fishing a bait 90 foot deep. Because that's where the smallmouth might be in the middle of the summer. And people are going 90 foot deep for a smallmouth. They can do it, folks. You ask anyone from up north or Lake Erie, they're finding smallmouth in that deep of water, maybe even a big largemouth. They go to where the fish go, where the bait goes. Greg, I know you fish Lake George up in upstate New York. How deep is the deepest small you pulled out? Give him a second. Still there, Greg?
Yeah, sorry about that. My computer had locked up and I was on mute. The smallies that I normally catch up Lake George area, they've been getting larger the past few years, but biggest one's about 19 inches right now.
And how deep is the deepest one you've ever caught out of there?
The deepest one, pulled one up last year when I was trying to catch a lake trout, and that one was about 60 feet down.
50 feet, yeah.
That was real deep. I was surprised, but I was doing some jigging with a butterfly jig.
Right.
At about 120 and was on the way back up, and it bit. So.
Yeah, having that ability to throw a bait that deep, not necessarily throwing it as much as just dropping it straight down on those deeper lakes. I mean, that's how Ish Monroe won his tournament this past year up in the Lake Champlain. Was actually using a butterfly tin. Anyone who's ever fished Montauk or surf cast knows what a butterfly tin is. It's basically a Hopkins. And he was dropping it down after he found the schools on his fish finder, dropping it straight down and jigging it at, I think it was at 55 feet, 50 feet, when he caught his biggest one, you know, and picking them off with that. So, you know, I don't think I've mentioned that, because you have to be very well-versed in what's going on, especially if you're going to fish as a co-angler. And I say this because when you fish as a co-angler, you're at the mercy of the boater. If you're a skinny water guy and you fish lakes that are only 4 feet deep, which is all around me right now. I have lakes that the deepest is like 9 foot. So I'm not throwing deep diving crankbaits per se. But I get on a Kerr Reservoir, Bugs Island, which has, you know, 30-foot depths, and a whole different way of thinking goes into mine. If that guy's a deep diving crank guy and he knows a deep diving spot, guess what? I better adapt to what he's using. You know, and that comes down to it, folks. You've got to fish a bunch of bodies of water with different depths and just become proficient. I didn't say an expert, but proficient enough that you can tweak what you have to what is going on. And a buddy of mine, Chad Hoover, when he was talking to a gentleman about fly casting, you know, and he was bragging about his son, you know, getting his G. Loomis fly rod. He told him, you know, cast in the cup within an hour. The kid was casting in the cup every time. A fly rod at like 40 feet. But, you know, you have to be proficient. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes you proficient at what you're doing. Because when you're perfect, you can't learn anymore. But if you're proficient, you always have room to grow. And I think that is key to understanding. I mean, you know, for instance, John was telling me he's a cranking freak. He's like me. He loves to powerfish, and powerfish really hard. But he has had to become proficient in, you know, running a Carolina rig or a Texas rigged, you know, worm in some of the southern lakes at deeper depths. And he really, you know, stressed, you know, being able to do different tactics for different areas. And, you know, that's why I love doing these boondoggles, folks. If you don't know about the boondoggle, you've been laying underneath a rock. This is a public service announcement, by the way. Boondoggle is an excellent way to meet other kayak fishermen in your area. I truly recommend it. You know, it's a great way to fish different areas, not close to home, you know, and have fun with it. And, you know, I've learned a lot, you know, that I'm going to be applying to my local area from the local guides and experts, or local anglers for that matter, in different bodies of water. We've had three so far, and started in Jacksonville and has moved to Charleston and Southern Florida was our last one. And this year, folks, we're having it right in my neck of the woods and the Lozier's neck of the woods here up in Virginia Beach. So I recommend you you take a look at it at kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle or kayakfishing or yakangler.com/boondoggle. I know this year we have a video being made. Rob, why don't you give us an update on the video, man?
It's done. It has been stamped by a. It's got received a stamp from the Electoral College, and I will be sending out email invites to view the video. If you were there, you get to watch it before everybody else. So send me your email addresses, and if you were there, and I'll make sure that I'll get you that sneak peek before it goes live. And I'm excited about it, man. It came out. I learned a lot, and I learned. Basically, you know, this was like the big practice video for the Virginia Beach one. I think the Virginia Beach one's going to be really good, and I'm excited about everybody seeing it. And it was a lot of fun for me to put together, you know, because I get to say stuff like quality sausage products and stuff like that.
That is so wrong.
So, no, it was a great deal of fun. There are some things I hate about it. I did the voiceovers for it and everything, and I hate it. I need a narrator, preferably somebody like, you know, somebody British that's been, like, trained in the Shakespearean stage theater, stuff like that. That would be fantastic to have.
For a true voice like the Imperial Revisionist, Mr. Greg Becker.
Absolutely, man. He's the man. I'm trying to think. You know, some of the... I found that you can't put a graphic pop-up and a subtitle on at the same time, at least not through iMovie. So that was kind of frustrating to deal with. Other than that, though, it's great. There's some really good footage, some GoPro footage. Adam's Kodak Play Sport was very, very good, very vivid. Let's see what else. One of my favorite sequences in the movie was when, even though you don't get to see it on the video so much, it's more of an audio thing, and it was when the clone got that grouper in the mangroves, man. That was, I think you were in that too. You were right there.
Yep.
And that was a really cool sequence. And
cool.
What else? The other, there's just a lot of cool things, and I had a lot of fun doing it, man. So the GoPro footage is really good. Dee Dee Olson and Stan both came up with some really, really good GoPro footage. It was just a lot of fun to make. there was some stuff I didn't get to put in it that I wanted to, but I wanted to kind of try to keep the time down if I could. And all the music, it was a lot of fun. So I got to do all that. It was a lot of creative, fun stuff for me, man. I get a charge out of that, man. As much as I do fishing, you know, is creating stuff like that.
Yeah, man, so awesome. I'm excited.
I hope everybody likes it.
Yeah, I'm excited for you, man. I'm excited to see it. I know it's from the trailer.
You guys, they lost sound in the chat room. It's not
what?
Going out anywhere if you're not on the phone. Yeah.
No.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, I think it's still recording, so we'll do part two next weekend, folks, or next week, due to the wonderful use of Blog Talk Radio, which is understandable, folks. So let me thank everyone that called in, Rob, Chip, and Greg. I wish I could talk to you guys longer. But, what can you do?
Tell everybody to call in so they can hear, so they can listen.
Yeah, I think everyone's already bugged out, except for the Loziers. I can't thank you enough, guys. Listen to their show. Every Tuesday night.
They're gone.
Yeah. Listen to Redfish Chucks on Monday, Chip Gibson on Thursday, and the late night show, which is the Friday West Coast show at 11 with Spike and Ike. I can't go wrong with those two guys or anyone else. I even have people posting and texting me now that he lost the show. But, you know, we apologize, folks. Remember, yakangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource. Check them out. Check out, let's see here, Irish Water Dogs, Keen, my newest sponsor, Columbia. Please check out Columbia Sportswear, folks. Wear their gear. Wear the shield stuff, the shield clothing, the Omni Shield, excuse me, the Omni Shades that keep you from getting sunburned. And trust me, I know sunburn. So check out their stuff. Jackson Kayaks, you know, you can paddle the rest, but why not paddle the best? Paddle Jackson Kayaks. I know I got other sponsors. I'm forgetting them. I wasn't expecting this right now. I didn't pull up my sheet. Let's see here. Jackson, them, Akuma, support Akuma. I know folks, people that you know have had Akuma and you know a while back and knows their quality. Folks, they really stepped up the game. So check out Akuma. Let's see here. That should do it. If I forgot anyone, I apologize. Like I said, I wasn't ready for it to cut out on me. But I just say thank you to everyone that's listened in. Catch me next week, where we go part two, and we talk about the Boondoggle video. All right, folks. Catch you next time. Again, always wear your PFD. Listen to me. Like me on Facebook. Send me emails. Follow me on Twitter. Landing crew, that's all you need to know. And with that, I say adieu, tight line, and following seas. Good night, everybody.